We are recording.
Okay, good evening, it is 6 PM on October 19th, and I'm calling this meeting of the Nashua Airport Authority Board of Directors, to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath is not here yet. Secretary Holland.
Here.
And Director Duquette.
Here.
Okay, public input that pertains to the agenda tonight. Any takers? Okay, it looks like a no. So minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of September 21, 2022. Anyone want to make a motion?
Make a motion, accept the minutes, September 21, 2022.
Okay, I will second that motion. Discussion. Okay, all those in favor of, approving the NAA public minutes of September 21, 2022, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that motion carries.
I think we need a roll call. I forgot on the one.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. So, Susan just reminded me that should have been a roll call vote since we have one remote director. So, Chris, can you call the roll?
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Law?
Aye.
Secretary Holland?
Aye.
And Director Duquette?
Aye.
And we're made a motion to approve the minutes from last month, Dave, if you'd like to.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Okay, Treasurer Heath, yes.
Okay, well, the minutes are approved again, but thank you for the correction. Clock is fast. And Dave, glad you're here. Next item on the agenda, approval of the July, August, September 2022 financial statements audit.
Okay, I'm going to kind of give an overview of the 3 months rather than, I looked through each individual month and nothing is unusual, so I'll just kind of focus on the results of the quarter of the 3 months to date. We're pretty much, in general, on budget for the 3 months, but there's some good-sized swings to get us there, and a little bit more revenue than expected on a couple of things, and some delays and some other expenses that we didn't have, it's a timing thing where they either happened sooner than anticipated or they weren't in the budget to begin with. Of note, there's the building and grounds maintenance account, which is, I'm looking at the horizontal spreadsheet that talks about actuals and budgets for the 3 months. Building and grounds maintenance, most of that has to do with, well, I guess there's two things in there. There's the painting, the leftover painting from on the buildings and whatnot, and then the there's an $8,300 expenditure for this engineering DES issue, the PFAS thing. And Susan, refresh my memory, was that budgeted or not?
That was not.
Not budgeted.
Budgeted.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I know it was going up.
Confirmed.
Yeah, so that's going to be kind of a, that $8,300 is going to be kind of a permanent thing that's going to track throughout the year. Generally, we should have some, I guess, call it buffer and other accounts to absorb that for the year, so it shouldn't materially affect the bottom line. On the flip side of that, we have vehicle maintenance and repairs. About $4,000. By the way, that million maintenance variance is $14,000. We spent $20,000. We thought we were going to spend $6,000. Some of that has to do with painting that was budgeted. Other has to do with the PFAS expenditure that was not budgeted for $1,800. So there's a more than more than planned spending of $14,000. And because of all the activity going on with the building, the painting, some of the vehicle repairs and maintenance haven't happened yet. So we had a little bit of a shortfall there in terms of, by shortfall, I mean we just didn't spend it yet. So we have about a $4,000 difference there. So again, overall, there's a couple more pluses and minuses there. Our famous marketing budget we're not spending as much as yet as we budgeted. And then we have some other stuff, some miscellaneous stuff. I'm not sure what's in that. It's relevant. I mean, it's $2,600 difference. But there are some charges there. But anyway, if you look at the bottom line, you know, we thought we're going to be $2,700 in the hole. I'm sorry, $4,300 in the hole, and we're actually $2,700. So we're making money. It's $1,600 better. So that's kind of where we are for the 3 months. I don't know of anything that's going to, again, adversely affect the bottom line for the rest of the year. I don't know where this engineering thing's going to go, that whole PFAS issue, or non-issue. So we'll see what happens there.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any conversation about just putting the PFAS in and other contracted services as opposed to maintenance, just so we can track maintenance year over year? I don't think it's that material that we have to really worry about it, but I was just
thinking. Right. Yeah, I mean, we can certainly entertain the idea of reclassifying it to a different expense, one that doesn't necessarily. I agree with you that's hopefully a one-off.
Right.
And it's not part of the quote operating, you know, maintenance
right.
budget or maintenance issue. So maybe we can do that. Just move it to miscellaneous or something.
What's that?
That's the $8,300 we paid for the engineers.
Okay.
And she lives in other contracted services on it. It's a pain in the neck,
No. Actually, it's probably a bigger pain in the neck to just talk about it all year long.
Yeah.
The variance all year long. So, that, yeah. I'm,
so, you want me to move it to miscellaneous services?
Put it this road in the 68240 account.
The money that's in there now, that was the money that was for the teachers, and we received the anonymous donation last fiscal year.
Okay, so that's most of that miscellaneous account?
Yes.
So I'm thinking, because when we received the money, didn't we offset marketing or anything?
Put it in miscellaneous income.
Oh, you did, okay.
Yep, and I took it out of miscellaneous expense, but it was last.
Right.
Last year.
Why don't we move that over to marketing, Susan?
Okay.
That's kind of what it is. Kind
okay.
of, I mean, right? Anybody have any other thoughts on that? Yeah, let's move it to 55,510 out of the 68240 account. So now, unless you can just. Can you do that, Susan, still in the month of September?
I can. It's not going to change.
Okay, so I don't want to see another swing in the month of October. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we just make the reclassification entry in the 9/30, the September 30th date, that'll be great. That way, you know, it doesn't pop up in October in the
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
You're
welcome. So, maybe you want more discussion before motion.
If there is any, sure. I'm always willing to. I love talking about numbers. You know, but Joe does too.
Yeah. Well.
All right.
My passionate thing.
I make a motion to accept the June July, August, September financial as presented, subject to audit.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion about the financials? Okay, so Chris, would you call the roll?
Hey, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Excellent. So that motion carries, and the reports are approved. Well, communications, we did get, we did get one electronic communication this month from our friends at NHTES, regarding the, supplemental site investigation, data review results, and work scope prepared by Weston and Sampson. Nothing dramatic there.
So that's what we got for $8,300?
Well, there's more to come.
There's more
to come. So
when you say more to come, I was only half joking, I guess. So the work done to date, does that use up all the 8,300, or is that?
I think that's the 8,300, but I don't have last month's stuff in front of me. Paperwork, but there's going to be ongoing expenses, and I forget what the proposal was.
My recollection was like 25,000.
I think it's even higher than that. I don't have it in front of me. But one thing I noticed on this, if you guys read this, the third paragraph down, additionally, the proposal included collection of groundwater samples from up to 5 standpoint wells. Those are wells that already exist on the field. NHES does not oppose this type of sample collection for screening purposes to make preliminary decisions. However, final decisions such as development of an appropriate monitoring well network for inclusion in a site groundwater management permit should be made using wells installed in compliance with ENV-OR610.04A and et cetera. This is going to be another expense that we had talked about in the beginning. If they made us put these wells in, the initial quote from Weston Sampson just for that part of it, I believe, was in excess of $25,000. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it was somewhere around there. So, again, we can expect to incur more expense with this. And then there's permitting through NHDES that will be ongoing.
Yeah, it just keeps on ticking.
Yeah, something we have nothing to do with.
So, have we exhausted, or have we exhausted any kind of funding for this, be it from the city, or from other resources of funding these kinds of projects for environmental purposes?
I know I haven't at this point actively investigated funding resources for this stuff.
I did have a brief discussion with Steve Bolton at the beginning of this, and we're asking if there were funds set aside by the state to pay for things like this, and he said that no, these funds were set aside for cleanups and certain types of environmental disasters.
Which is interesting, because that brings me back to a conversation we had when we had a phone call with the DES people, and they said that I asked about mitigation or remediation, and they said that there are no approved means of remediation at this point
for PFAS.
For PFAS,
correct.
Okay, but
it's
written in the state law that they can compel us to, drill these wells at our expense and have a continuous program of monitoring. Yes, Wes.
To make it make you feel any worse, I guess they're testing deer that are harvested this season for PFAS.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like I read an article about PFAS in our environment a couple of months ago, And it's literally in the water that rains down on our heads from the skies.
Oh, so we can blame the power plants in Ohio. It's acid rain.
Well, I think the burden would be on us to make that case. So, anyway, the bottom line is that I don't think we really, you know, thoroughly investigated sources of funding for this project.
And there's really no profile of what those costs could be over the years. It's sort of like you kind of get little snapshots, right? Like, well, if we got to do some wells, it's probably this. But we don't really know over the, well, there's no sunsetting of it anyway, right? There's no sort of, this is the program peaks and, you know.
It depends what they find moving forward as well.
See, the difference is this is not an entity that, you know, unlike a municipality that can say, oh, gee, we have to do all this stuff, and we just simply have to tack it on the tax rate or, you know, kind of expense it somewhere else or whatever. We have a finite set of resources here. We don't have the ability to go up and increase the tax rate. So this is going to impact our ability to operate on this airport. And there's got to be some sort of remedy. I think this is maybe another job for hopefully our legislature if they can do anything about it. Or some other kind of, it doesn't pass the smell test as far as I'm concerned. But I can't think about this minute, but I think we need to be a little more aggressive or vigilant about finding some other resources to help fund this thing or, you know, stop the nonsense or however we do it. And this is not something that I'm interested in paying for whatever they feel like sending a letter.
I can sell a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And we told them from day one that they didn't think that we should have to incur these expenses, especially when the state received a grant to come after the airports, that there's no grants in place to help the airports.
Yeah.
And their response was, that's why we're giving you the opportunity to do this in a phased approach.
Oh, sure. That's why we can milk you to death over time.
Yep.
Rather than all at once.
But that was their response.
Yeah, great. Well, it's probably just me and gone to the dogs.
Anyway, any more discussion on the DES PFAS stuff? See, Joe's already looking at the traffic counts.
Yes. At least we're not canceling June, right?
No, but I got some emails about it.
And by the way, if you notice too, there's AFFF class action commercials now rolling. So look out for those.
What is an AFFF?
The aqueous form filling foam. That's the other thing.
Where the PFAS is supposedly coming from at airports.
Yeah. Right. So there's a group out there getting up something for that.
Well, didn't we get an inquiry about that from some ambulance chaser down in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I don't think we've heard back from them. Not since we responded.
Yep.
So anyway, travel report, traffic counts. So for September, I see 5557 operations. That's down 848 versus August, or 11%. And year over year, we're off 839 or 11%. And year to date, we're off 9%. And that brings us to the airport manager's report.
Okay, something really exciting. good evening. No recent events, no upcoming events. Coming into winter, the next event will be snow. Other items of interest, Skydive Pepperell is still active. So make sure everybody monitors the ATIS broadcast, telling you about the activity at Pepperell. When it's active, they ask that you avoid Pepperell within a 3.5-mile radius. Recently, met with a potential hangar developer, Mr. Stephen Vermont God. Mr. God is interested in developing tee hangers off the India Ramp area, and he's partnering in this with his nephew, Chuck Donnelly, who is a tenant of the airport and aircraft owner. They're looking to develop the area, the grass area off the India Ramp. They've staked it out. They've done some surveying. They're in the process. I just spoke with them yesterday and today. They're still waiting for quotes from hanger manufacturers, from Rectitube and two other people. And they plan on presenting at next month's board meeting what they propose to build and lease. They're moving forward on this. I've also put them in touch with a number of people that are interested in purchasing hangers. So they already have a good list of people that are ready to buy a hanger out there. another thing I had going on, Infinity Aviation, Greg Leeson is under contract now with Gale, and they're going to begin a site survey this coming Monday, surveying the area that's adjacent to this building in the grass for hangar development, as we've talked about in the past. So they're moving forward with that. Again, they're under contract with Gale. On September 28th, I met with another potential hangar developer and Gale representatives, Matt and Nick and Danny Quarian. The developer is interested in developing a large corporate hangar in the grass tie-down area. And this all hinges on Greg starting the development beside the tower here, securing a land lease, hopefully in the next couple of months. And then we can move forward with entertaining putting a large hangar out on the grass tie-down area. Along with that, I sent a letter this morning or this afternoon to Carol Nowell in the New Hampshire DOT requesting a meeting to revisit the relocation of Taxiway Alpha as well as the AWOS. And so she's put a letter out to FAA very promptly today, and we're going to try to get a meeting within the next 2 weeks so we can start revisiting that, because we have to make that happen in order to develop anything out on that, the Delta ramp. And the person that's looking to develop the hangar out on the Delta ramp is looking to develop a large hangar that could house basically a minimum of 8 corporate jets. Honda is in the process of building 8 jets that they want to have based up in the Northeast, and they'll be somewhat of a management firm for the Honda corporate jets. For the people that are buying them, they're not necessarily pilots. They're private individuals or corporations that want these things managed. And so that's the whole idea behind that large hangar that's going out there. It'll be quasi-run by Honda. Let's see, what else do we have going on here? On the 29th, I met with representatives from National Community College and Rick Bartle from Stratus Business Development. We brought them over and toured 99 Perimeter Road, which is for sale. We met with Victoria Alcova. She's a realtor. Works for Romeo Dene and happens to be his wife as well. And we had two gentlemen from NCC come and tour the property. They liked what they saw. The building is essentially turnkey for their operation. It's in tip-top excellent condition. And so they were bringing all the information back to the higher-ups at NCC, and we should have a follow-up meeting hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We feel it's important that they bring that, keep that program going and bring it here to the Nashua Airport to make it thrive, because it really hasn't been thriving. Being across the street from the airport. Everybody believes that the best place for it is here at the airport.
Now, this is the AMP?
Yes.
Program?
Yep. And that facility is perfect. There's plenty of classroom space, office space, and I think it's at least double the size, the floor space, to what they have now over at the college for the shop space. They plan on bringing in all kinds of turbine engines, et cetera, having, you know, in a little more modern school. Because I think right now a lot of people that graduate from that program, they get into the field, and let's say they go somewhere like Plainsense. Plainsense has to put them through their own 2-year program to get them up to speed on the turbines. So they're going to incorporate these classes in their program.
Okay.
And so I'll keep you up to date as I continue to meet with the NCC people. Okay, 9:30. I participated in the annual Gathama Golf Tournament, and congratulations to John Leland and his team for winning the tournament. They just barely beat myself and Matt Caron. Oh, no, wait a minute. They smoked us. John wins this tournament every year with his team. He's a very good golfer. I am not. Matt carried us this year. Good job, Matt.
That's sad.
Well, you know, there's a correlation, you know, between your handicap, which is, you know, like John's probably like a 4 or 5.
Mine's like a 45.
So, no, the lower the handicap, so that's your handicap equals the number of days you spend working.
All the proceeds from this tournament were donated to the New Hampshire Aviation Museum to fund STEM education-related programs. So it's a great cause, and what was the amount that was going? Like $7,600, I believe?
Something like that, yeah.
Like $7,600 was going, so that was great. And as you all may know, or if you don't know, they've started another RV-12 project. They completed the first one, and they've started a second one now. And so a lot of this funding goes towards that type of a project.
Has the first one flown yet?
It has. Yeah. Bob DeMeo is the test pilot, and he flew it. Yeah.
Excellent.
And that's all I have.
Well, we met with DOT and Dan to talk about
that. Right, I was going to let Matt and Nick talk about that.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Chris? Okay, we'll move on. Airport engineers.
Okay. Nick Polito for reporting. Keep in mind that this agenda was typed up a week ago, so it might be out of date. We're administering two projects on behalf of the Airport Authority. The first is the rehabilitation taxiway Alpha Associated Taxiway. That grant has been approved by the New Hampshire Governor and Executive Council and is now ready for drawdown funding. Gail prepared the first reimbursement request to capture costs to date. And we received a notification today from NHDOT that the payment is in process, so you guys should be receiving that hopefully in the next couple of days here. To wrap up the project, next month we'll be issuing our final invoice and we'll move to close out the grant. So no action at this time, but likely next month's meeting we'll be asking you to sign the close out documentation for NHDOT.
And Nick, if I may, this is for design only on that project.
Sorry, did I not mention that? Any questions on the Taxiway Alpha project? All right. And the second project is the rehabilitation of Golf and Foxtrot ramps. As far as this update is concerned, there was no update as of the previous meeting. However, we did receive the grant offer today from NHDOT. So the recommended actions are to please sign and attend the grant offer. I believe the authority has to make a motion for that. The grant does not include the DIL funds for the Foxtrot portion of the ramp, but that grant, according to our correspondence with Carol, she can use the same grant application to request a drawdown of the airport DIL fund to cover the Foxtrot portion. So no action needed as far as the second grant application, and I think we are ready to get contracts circulating into the contract.
So I just handed this from our tech staff. I so forward the motion to authorize Chairman Woods to approve and execute the grant offer for SPG 1226-2022 Rehabilitate Mark Light Sign and Drain of the Golf Ramp.
Okay. I'll second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay.
Should we say Golf and Foxtrot Ramp?
It's Golf and Foxtrot.
Amended to be Rehabilitate Mark Light Sign and Drain of Golf and
covering Foxtrot only. Okay.
Do we need to reread it or are we good?
I think we're good. So roll call, please.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, the motion carries. Now, why did you give that to your read? Am I not able to read?
You've got stuff to do already. I'm just sitting here looking ugly.
I already have my three minutes to say. So are there any questions on the second project?
Kind of back on the first, just real quick. So from not so much for the numbers, but just from a strategic perspective, that now that that has been done, paid for, and all that, does that help us in making our case for the movement of Foxtrot, Alpha?
It'll play a part in that.
So we have
the determining factor is going to be the demand for...
Right, but I mean, at least now we have a bona fide design plan for that relocation.
For Alpha, no.
The design that this grant pertains to is for the rehabilitation in place.
Oh, the rehabilitation piece.
Right.
Okay,
so
sorry.
If when we conduct this meeting with the agencies, they accept the justification that we provide for relocating Alpha because there's no developable real estate left,
right,
then it would be basically a quote final design,
okay,
and construct.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Do I understand the rehabilitation would reduce the width of Alpha and maybe convert the liabilities?
The rehabilitation would maintain the current width of Alpha. If we relocate, however, that would reduce it from 40 feet to 35 feet.
Okay. And are they going to do LED lighting as part of the rehabilitation?
That is what we scoped out in the original.
Okay.
For the rehab? For the rehabilitation.
For the rehabilitation.
The LED lights.
We will go LED.
So just forgive my ignorance, but so 40 feet to 35 feet, does that restrict any aircraft? In other words, one of my fear is that we're doing all this work to promote and to build hangar for larger aircraft, and now we're shrinking the width of our taxiway. Does that hurt us?
Well, the G-series jets?
Yes.
I have surprisingly narrow living.
Okay.
They are technically a taxiway designed with 2, which means they only require 25 feet.
Okay, so we're not precluding them. We're not trying to, promote one way and then saying, oh, geez, sorry, you can't put those in here because of the
right
width.
No.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
35-foot width would...
It's still plenty.
In the area where we have the problems, have them and will have them, or potentially could have them, are the intersections.
Right.
And when they shrink the widths, they now put these new...
Rims, right?
Within 50 feet of the center of the intersection, the pavement will widen from 35, I think,
to allow for turn
and
all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the track of the B-29.
That's a tough one. I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, they come.
Yeah. Yeah, but they tend to back taxi most of the time, but they do use the taxiway sometimes.
No,
how often do they?
Maybe once or twice a year.
Every other year.
But
they qualify as a diameter.
Right.
But they have to shut off the outboard engines so the props don't hit the lights. They have to position the props so that they're...
Yeah, it's for the signs. They'll actually hit the signs.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Nick at this time? Okay, moving on. We have no committees at the moment. Full business. Greg Lucon, Infinity Hangar Development, but I don't see Greg here tonight.
Yeah, he couldn't make it tonight, Farrell. He was going to attend an NBAA meeting, last minute change in plans, so he said he will attend next month.
Okay. So that brings us to new business. We have Dominic Lewis. Fauci from SNHU here tonight.
Thank you.
Talk about this building.
Thank you. Thank you for having me tonight. First, I want to start off by saying we've loved operating out of here for the past, you know, almost 5 years. Chris and Bob Bird have been a tremendous help for us. My gosh, like the amount of times students say Bob Bird has come to the rescue is like, I can't even count it. It's incredible. Even when we did the air show over in Portsmouth, you know, he was building cement buckets for us to take airplanes over and tie them down in Portsmouth. You know, I've never seen that level of support here or any other airport I've ever worked at. What happened, which luckily Chris informed me of, was unbeknownst to me that there was a potential buyer that approached the university about buying Hangar 85, which we're currently using as a free leaseback, if you will, to Aircraft Airways. I wasn't aware of this. So I wanted to apologize to anybody if this caused any sort of commotion or confusion. I had to go back into my own organization and say, off the record, what the heck? So what I have found out is that there is a prospective buyer for Hangar 85. And though I'm not sure where we are in the purchase agreement process, the university is hoping to close on that hangar by December 31st, that that hangar would belong to a new owner. In the process of doing this and in the error of that potential buyer mentioning that they're buying the hangar, they have now signed on to a non-disclosure agreement, because that was part of the original buying terms so that an NDA would have been signed. I wanted to apologize about that if that caused any confusion. Unfortunately, two separate departments, me being aviation is one of them, and the procurement being its own different organization, they're the ones working on it. I was running more of the academic mailhouse. So moving forward, I told them that if anything comes up or changes, they need to be here, or at least inform me so I can be here and address everyone and let them know what happened.
We appreciate your concern, and don't feel bad about it. It's not the first time a large organization has not talked to each other.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I get it.
And with that said, I went back to that same group in our school and said, well, the aviation center, you know, we have to review our terms for this, and it would be nice to provide the airport authority a notice of what our intentions are. I'm hoping that very soon we know what the plan's going to be, and I can come back and address that here.
So we got to August of 2024, I think, is the end of the first term. We need to have some sort of resolution so that, and hopefully before that, so that, you know, if others are interested in this building, that we can do something with it.
Absolutely. So I presume that the purchaser for 85 understands that they assume the ground lease.
Yes.
Okay. So they took a tour with our procurement legal team. So while no terms have been signed off on for the purchase yet, and that purchase agreement is still being executed, they were briefed on the requirements to maintain maintenance insurance grounds.
Okay.
And the last thing I wanted to mention too, because I think it would impact general aviation traffic in some sense, at this time, soon agreement with Air Direct Airways goes until the end of this year. We're working with Air Direct to determine, does that agreement get extended, does it get paused, what have you, during that book meeting, I hope to have enough to do that.
So how many students are you still teaching out, so to speak?
Seven at Air Direct, and then several have gone to East Coast or Chris Apprendi to fly the Twin Star.
Okay.
So we'll see here.
So there's still, as far as the new SNHU students, there's about how many total?
Total, I would have to get a more accurate number, but I think there's still 16 in the flight training program, and 7 are flying here.
Okay.
Air Direct. Sorry, Air Direct.
I don't really care which organization they're using. It's at Nashville Airport. I'm just wondering was it 60 people or 20 people? Or?
Yeah, it would be less than 20 at Nashville.
Okay.
So Dominic, the agenda mentions, you know, this building, 79 perimeter. Do you have anything to say about this building at the moment, or?
Not yet. So I brought this to our procurement team because I think they were focused more on the 85 perimeter road getting it sailed through and more or less figuring out how do we address that with Air Direct Airways.
because they have been notified that they will have free use of that space until the end of this year. And then any other tie down or hangar space is their commitment, not the university to figure out for them. So with this building, the gears are in motion to figure out what we're doing with it. It's just, it's with that different team. That's their responsibility. I'm just trying to get the information. So okay. I hope to be at next month's meeting, at least virtually, and give an update.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anybody have questions for, you know, for Dominic?
As part of that process, you know, the consideration of moving, because you do still have aviation, SNHQ still has aviation going on the campus of Manchester, is what I understand.
Our management, air traffic management, and flight training program are all getting things out. The only program we'll have that has an aviation lesson is a business major that has an aviation concentration in it.
Okay.
And that's it. There's a few reasons for that. One of them, we don't have a new academic governance structure in place yet, so there's no one in place to
direct it,
to approve a program, yeah, and give it the proper oversight and backing to
it. It seems, just seems this university went through so much work to get this program, all the various pieces of it in place, including this building.
Yeah.
And then she just go, oh, no, we're only kidding. Yeah.
Can you off record in these meetings? Is that okay?
For us.
Afterwards. I will say just personally, it's heartbreaking for myself.
Oh, right.
I mean, we'll all
sure.
Pour a lot into this, but
right.
You know, pandemic and university transformation, the priorities mm-hmm. changed, and we fought for it.
Right.
It's hard for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Juneteenth.
Right up there.
It's Juneteenth.
Juneteenth.
That's something that happened. It's within from our crack staff.
You want to let Dave read it?
Would you like to read it?
No.
Want to record a song thing? Those words are too big. So, putting forward the motion to recognize Juneteenth as a National Airport Authority holiday and to revise the holiday section of the employee handbook. I think this is probably in line with the city's
what we discussed, yes.
Yeah. So the motivation for doing this is to be in sync with the city?
Correct.
It's a federal holiday.
Right. And I guess FAA is federal enough, so the motion is just to revise the handbook, right?
Correct.
Really, the only so we've already been recognizing we just have to put up a
date. Correct, yes.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion on the employee handbook to recognize Juneteenth? Hey, would you call the roll, please, Chris?
Hey, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, that motion carries. So, upcoming events, we have one. We're just waiting for the first phone call to be mentioned. Quite hard to wait for this.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Public input. You know, before we put the director's comments, anybody have any public input? Just Wes.
I have a question. Will the tower be closed on Juneteenth? It's a federal holiday?
Probably.
The tower is open 365 days a year.
Okay. Yeah, there are no holidays.
Yes. What they did at my company is, you know, they give us Juneteenth off, but they took one day out of the Christmas break, you know, to cover that. So we don't get an extra. Okay. So, any more public input? Okay, with that, director's comments. We'll start with Brian.
None.
Let's see, I guess I'll continue. I want to thank Nick and Matt from Yale, you know, for the hard work that they continue to do for us, and, you know, really appreciate it. We had a constructive CIP meeting the other day, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to move forward on, you know, these projects in a timely manner. I really appreciate that effort. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Okay. David?
I did want to kind of expand on my comments from the finances. I guess Susan and I have been reviewing some of the balance sheet items that are kind of carrying over, primarily on the balance sheet, finally dealing with projects and getting the balance sheet cleaned up before the auditors come in. The auditors are coming in on the 7th of November, 7th and 8th, I guess. And so we just want to, Susan's done a great job of just getting things ready for them. There is a new GASB pronouncement dealing with leases that has to be implemented this year. Dr. Tett will be giving a presentation on that.
Would you like it in PowerPoint with my hand down?
But anyway, so that's a lot of you coming up too. So I just wanted to say that earlier. But comments or concerns, no, everything seems to be running pretty well. And, you know, appreciate Dominic being here, and glad our building got painted. That's nice. It's shiny new gray paint.
Actually, Kevin did a fantastic job of painting.
Yeah. Well, I know that he was pretty diligent about, you know, prepping it. That was the big thing about sandblasting the whole building.
Well, that was Eldon. And boy, he deserves praise for that.
Yeah.
That was tough work.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're behind on our vehicle budget, because he was out doing that instead of fixing things. And now we're going to be spending a bunch of money.
The building came out great.
Yeah,
it solved all the sidewall leaks that we had. Susan had a waterfall in her office for many years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she doesn't have that waterfall feature anymore. So I think she's okay with that.
Well, that's good. She can still meditate.
I had Kevin come over and paint my building.
Yeah,
he did a very nice job with that too.
And
is Kevin going to come back and paint the other buildings that now look ugly next to yours?
Say the word.
Yep. Chris can give folks Kevin's phone number and see if he'll come up from Chicago to do that.
Yep, he traveled from Chicago to do this paint work because we couldn't get anybody around here to do it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm glad it took the time that it did and we got him to do it. He did a first-class job on our building.
Yeah.
So, David, the auditors are going to be here in November?
Yes, they are.
So I'm sure Joe is just looking forward to having that report.
One funny comment 5 years ago. Just 6 years.
They will be at the November meeting.
Jessica.
Yeah, sir. I just wanted to say thanks to everybody, Chris and Susan, Joe, Eldon, for keeping things running so smoothly at the airport. It's nice that I don't have to worry about when I'm gone, and when I come back, it's like everything's getting better all the time. I also want to say that I'm heartened by all the discussions and actual progress moving forward to do some development on the airport for additional hangars. I think that's the way that we're going to grow the airport and bring in new business, and because obviously space or the lack thereof has been a limiting factor. So thanks to everybody who's coming forward with that. I'm looking forward to hearing more of those details. Over.
Okay. And Joe.
Yep, thanks to the team as usual. Great, that was a good month. Keep it going. I'll keep my comments for the auditors later.
Okay, with that, I'll make a motion to adjourn our public meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please, Chris.
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay, majority voted yes. We are adjourned.